Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to UFlex Limited Q3 FY 2021 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shalini Gupta from Quantum Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Vikram. On behalf of Quantum Securities, we welcome you all to the Quarter 3 FY 2021 result conference call of UFlex Limited. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. The management is represented by Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group CFO, and Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah, Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah. Over to you, Yusuf.
Thank you, Ms. Shalini, for hosting the call. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you who have joined us today for our Quarter 3 earnings call of FY 2021, UFlex Limited. On the call today, we have our Group CFO, Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, who will be sharing his assessment of the performance we posted yesterday. Please note that today's discussions may include predictions, estimates, or other information that might be considered forward-looking. While these statements represent our current judgment on the future holds, they are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. You are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which reflects our opinion only on the date of this presentation. I would also like to emphasize that the call should not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. We will open the floor to Q&A towards the end. Let me now briefly take you through the key highlights of Q3 FY 2021. The numbers posted yesterday marked another strong quarter for us as our PAT and EBITDA grew by 89% and 50.8% year-on-year. We have announced domestic expansion with greenfield packaging films plant set up in Karnataka, a brownfield CPP line to be set up in UAE, and our BOPET line in Poland has been commissioned. I would now like to invite Mr. Bhatia to address the participants. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks all the participants, Happy New Year to you because this is the first time we are interacting in this year, so I must wish you all a happy 2021. We hope that you all are safe, you all are doing, keeping yourself, taking enough precautions against this pandemic and keeping the safe distances, keeping the mask, washing your hands. I'll strongly urge that we should have a strict discipline on this because leniency could be quite sort of have huge ramifications. I've personally suffered on this account, so that is why my recommendation and my request to all is to sort of maintain the protocols as to what the government has been telling us. As Yusuf said, coming to the business, as Yusuf said that this being again a quarter where on a Y-on-Y basis, we had all parameters in green, whether it was the production volumes or the sales volume or the sales value, EBITDA, PAT, everything was in the green. Yes, as this quarter was sort of as compared to the sequential quarter was bit down mainly on account of because we had started the trial runs from our Poland plant, given that there was a huge requirements of the packaging films during the Q1 and Q2. We were actually sort of running the plant albeit, you know, we had to do some work there to complete the plant. So we've done those works in Q3, and that's where in Q4 currently we've announced the commissioning of the Poland BOPET facility. But yes, we did delay it by a couple of months because of, you know, the huge customer's demand, due to which it was more prudent to keep on operating, though, you know, everything was not according to what the way we wanted. But, you know, all of that has been set right. And as we speak, day before, we is the first time we crossed 1,000 tons for the group as a whole, daily production of the BOPET films. And you know, with all the plants now more or less coming on stream, we will surely see a larger volumes in the quarters and the years to come. And when our overseas expansion is complete, we've announced commissioning of Poland, Hungary, and Russia was already commissioned earlier. Nigeria and Hungary are completed. Trial runs are going on. So, you know, any day we can look at you know, announcing, depending on, you know, the machines, the plants operating at the guaranteed performances, we will surely we are on course to, you know, sort of commission them. But yes, both the plants, Nigeria as well as Hungary, now the trial runs are happening, the production is happening. There are a few hiccups, as what happens in everything that we set up new. But, you know, those challenges, those are the surmountable challenges, and we soon will announce the commissioning of these facilities as well. So having, you know, done a commendable job by our team in terms of taking four simultaneous projects at the same time, and that too in different territories, with all of them now getting completed, and with our aseptic business also, you know, now almost operating at full capacity levels. And in India, where we've not set up any packaging films facility for the last 16 years, more than even the, you know, this period is even more than the period during which Lord Rama was in exile. So we've now decided to, you know, set up a green field in southern part of India, in the state of Karnataka, where, you know, we're setting up a BOPET facility similar to what we had set up in Nigeria. And a CPP facility, because currently we're buying a lot of CPP films from the market, and our existing plants are fully utilized. So we've decided to embark upon this expansion, which cost us about 850 odd crores. We've also taken up now a smaller expansion of CPP facility in our Dubai plant, where, you know, which was you know, we had the entire infrastructure available there because we'd moved one line to Russia earlier this year, and then, you know, the whole utilities and other infrastructure was lying unutilized. So we spending about another $15 million to set up a CPP line there itself, which will help us to, you know, utilize that, the whole infrastructure, and also add to the volumes and profitability. The margins in the packaging film business during this quarter were a bit lower as compared to the sequential quarter, mainly because you know, the raw material prices which had fallen quite steeply in the Q1 and Q2, they were they came back, and with the economies opening up, and you know, the demand coming back, I think there had to be readjustment of prices, and accordingly, we see that during this period, Q3, the margins on the packaging films line was less as compared to Q2. As compared to Q1, it was almost at par. But yes, going forward, as I said, that these times were a bit extraordinary. So now with the normalcy returning, we are looking at more of a value added as well as increasing our throughputs from the newly commissioned capacities. We've done wonderfully well in America, in North America, where we are constantly utilizing our capacities now fully. We had earlier achieved the higher capacity utilizations, but we couldn't maintain them. But now in this current fiscal, we are doing quite well in North America, and both Mexico and American facilities are almost being at a 100% utilization levels. We will have now additional outputs as we in the coming quarter, coming from our Poland facility, coming from our Hungary, Nigeria. Russia is also ramping up, but they will also do better than what they do in terms of their output in the coming quarters. And we are looking at least 25% volume and value growth in the over the next couple of years at least, which is because of this capacity that we have now set up. We also told you last time that the expansion at the our aseptic packaging facility is also likely to happen. So we are going ahead with the same that expansion also. It doesn't cost much, as I've been saying. It's only adding one printing line. But given that we are now fully sold out this season, so before the next season commences, we'll ensure that we have the added capacity in place so that we can serve more number of customers and exist higher volumes to the existing customers. So this pretty much sums up our performance in this quarter. India business has done well, overseas had done well, and that's why the leveraging ratios are now extremely comfortable. In India plant, in India business today, if I see long-term debt to EBITDA, it's almost at a 1:1 level, which is very healthy for the business, and as we are expanding, spending another 850 crores in setting up the new facility, I think we are absolutely comfortable in terms of liquidity or leveraging for setting up this capacity, and we sure that we'll be able to ramp up to the moment after we commission this in the next 18 months period, we'll be able to ramp up to a higher level of capacity utilizations within the first year itself. So is the market, and we've deliberately chosen South India as the market because we're not present there, and so for this, we are clear the messages. We are looking at not a capital consumption from this plant much. Even if it is there, it will be much less, but a larger production will be available to be sold to the third party customers for this. So overall, a very satisfying quarter. We've done about 20% volume growth, in both production and the sales volume, a 17% top line growth, EBITDA and the profitability PAT is much higher at about 51 and 90% over the last same period last year. But what we are guiding is that, you know, this trend of every quarter to quarter in higher throughputs, both volumes, production as well as sale volumes, that's what our endeavor is to keep on delivering those with the new capacities getting commissioned now. Thank you. That is what was you know, my take on these results, what I had to communicate to you. And we can have any questions now as to on the performance and India, overseas, wherever, whatever you want to ask.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, once your questions have been answered, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone now. We have a first question from the lineup, Saurabh Sharma, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, if you can be a bit louder.
All right, sir. How about this, sir? Is it better?
Yeah, better.
All right, sir. So I wanted to know, in comparison to our competitors, Polyplex, SRF, all of the other competitors, Esther, Garvare, you look at everyone, your margins have reduced quite substantially in this quarter versus the last quarter. You did mention it passingly, but it's now been two quarters in a row. Last quarter, I had asked the same question, and you told me that there was a charge of bad debts, and you had done excessive provisioning of, and the amount of that was around 100 crores in the cash flow. And so I wanted to ask, you know, it's now two quarters in a row that you've been lagging the competitors. So when do you expect this to reverse? That is my first question, sir.
So I don't think so. We lag at any competitive levels, you know, because if you compare us with Polyplex or SRF, they are doing a pure, you know, packaging films business, where because of the higher demand and everything else, you know, the commodity market, so the prices were higher during the pandemic, at least in the first two quarters. And that's where you see higher margins for us as well as for them. But, you know, we don't have only that business. We have aseptic packaging, we have packaging, we have engineering, we have chemicals. So our business is much more complex than their complex. So when we compare ourselves only with a competitive business with them, I think our margins are pretty much, you know, almost the same. They're not less as compared to any of the competitors that, you know, we have.
Looking at just the bottom line numbers, our margins are sub 20% now for two quarters in a row, while the competitors doing the around 25%.
That's what I said, that, you know, you are comparing apple with oranges then.
Sure.
Yes,
sure.
In the films business, the margins are higher today. The packaging drags the margins a bit down. That is why our blended margins are lesser than the, you know, the competitors' margins. Because competitors, yeah.
If I were to turn this question around and ask it another way, if not just the operating margins, can you just talk about what are the return metrics that you evaluate before putting up a new plant? What are the long-term return metrics, ROE, ROCE, that you're looking at when you're looking at your business?
I think we are looking at equity IRR of about 20% when we look at investments, you know, that we need to do. But, you know, short-term blips, you know, again, some sort of a situation where, you know, everybody tries to set up more capacity and all that. you know, there could be situations where, you know, the margins get squeezed for a limited period of time, but then, and you know, we saw that in the BOPET after 2011 boom. Then, you know, for a few years there was a lull totally, and then 2017 onwards the capacity utilization, there were hardly any capacity additions, and you know, the markets got consolidated, the capacity utilization increased, and today in 2020-21 we found that the margins were so robust that, you know, everybody thought of expanding, including us. You know, someone who'd not thought of any capacity expansion on the packaging film side in the last 16 years, and we've been expanding that business only overseas, but not in India. But you know, we can't be remaining too far behind. If packaging is today a bit subdued, you know, which it will bounce back. It has bounced back in the last 2 years. It will take a couple of years more for it to get to the normalized returns. I see that, you know, globally all the peers are doing about 16% to 18% kind of an EBITDA margins. But in India, if I see my competitors, if I see ourselves, everybody is working at, 10-11% kind of a margins in this industry, which will not sustain for long. But yes, today they are a bit drag on a higher margins in the packaging films business.
So, sir, you talk about 2011, the period after 2011, there are a lot of capacity got added. And right now, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I see at it, look at it as an outsider, it is exactly the same situation as it was in 2011, right? And if
2011 was a different time where the, you know, the plant capacity that you put up, the paybacks were about a year. So we not in the same situation at present. Today when we still look at any expansion, we are looking at about 4 to 5 years kind of a payback period. So the situation is not the same. So,
our ROE currently is sub 15%, 12 to 13% currently ROE. 800 crores of PAT, that around 8,000 crores capital, 8,000 crores net worth, right? So that is barely touching even double digits. So, you know, that is something that I wanted to point out. You're free to not answer this any further.
No, we're free to answer this because, you know, when you take that, you know, all this recent capacity expansions, the aseptic packaging and all that. So let's talk of a situation when all these get ramped up and operate at a reasonable capacity utilization levels vis-a-vis. And then when you look at that, you know, these will look more meaningful at that point in time. But today, having done substantial capex in the last 2 years, and you know, the commensurate revenues and the profitability only coming in the future years, I think that would be wrong to look at from the perspective of you know, the today's returns.
Right,
because equity is already spent in those projects also. Equity and debt both are taken for those projects also. And for us, for our size of the organization, let me tell you, this was quite a substantial expansion that we undertook. Four plants at a same time with an outlay of close to about $400 million was very substantial in relation to our size. So today, when you talk about those returns, the equity earned has been reinvested into those businesses, and we will wait for the revenues and the profitability to shore up as we increase the throughput from these plants.
Right, sir. So the capital allocation primarily is one of the major concerns, I believe, in the market with respect to Uflex, and that clearly reflects in the price to earnings and the price to book and everything, all of the other market ratios of our company. That clearly reflects in the market ratios, and that is all I wanted to bring attention to once again. It has been brought into focus on every single call that I'm sure that you would have attended by now. And the return ratios and the capital allocation is something that is something that the market is clearly discounting very highly with Uflex. The second question, again, it's an extension of the first, sir. is about the dividend policy, and we've seen Polyplex has done 100 rupee dividend just a while ago. You've seen Cosmo doing a 25 rupee dividend on a 500 rupee share price, or less than a 500 rupee share price. So what is the company policy? Because this new CapEx was never under discussion up till now. Up till just yesterday when the results were announced, this new CapEx was never in discussion at all, even in the prior conference calls. So what really is the company's capital allocation policy in terms of distributing some earnings to the shareholders versus taking care of just the management? That is my second question, sir.
So I think as of now, the endeavor is that, you know, you should look at plowing back that capital into growing the business. And yes, there are clear opportunities in the markets to grow that business. And so we today focused on that rather than, a huge distribution to the shareholders. Having said that, it's not that, you know, we will not be shareholders friendly from that perspective. I think it's just a matter of time. Somebody is doing it today, a larger distribution. We may be doing a few years down the line as and when, you know, this capacity expansion gets completed, depending on as to, you know, what are the opportunities to grow in our line of business at that point in time. Yes, there are...
तुम्ही ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्याने तुमच्या कॉलला होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. कृपया लाईनवर.
सो आय थिंक वी रिमेन व्हेरी व्हेरी फोकस्ड ऑन इन्क्रीजिंग द शेअर होल्डर रिटर्न्स अँड दॅट्स वेअर यु नो येस इफ देर इज सम पास्ट विच हॅज because of which we seeing today the ROC and some of the other return ratios are a bit subdued. I think the idea is to correct them, with the new incremental investments. And, aseptic packaging foray is one of that where we are looking at a much higher EBITDA margins, double of what we today have in the flexible packaging business. And we growing that business, we looking at a huge export potential in that business as such. So, in one segment today, the margins are a bit subdued. The packaging films margins are reasonable right now. Another 2 years down the line, you know, there may be some effect on these margins as more capacities come up. But aseptic packaging business where, you know, you don't find the smaller players will remain a growth focus area. And after this expansion where we're spending close to about, 60 to 80 crore kind of a capex, not much. I think the revenues will clearly double. We looking at about 500 crores top line from this business in FY22. And the capacity that we are setting up will give us another 500 crore top line. It will not happen immediately. It will take a couple of years before we are able to ramp up the additional capacity as well. But yes, the top line and the margins in that business are definitely better as compared to the packaging business. The packaging business also today, if you ask me, we are running at a very high capacity utilization levels, but there's no point in investing in that business at this point in time, given that, you know, when you are allocating your capital, I think in terms of the returns from that capital, the packaging films and the aseptic packaging are in the top tier, and the flexible packaging business commands a lesser, a lower margins, and that's why that investment is not today planned. You said that, it was not on horizon and all that, this investment. I think any progressive company like us, you know, we not giving some advance 1 year notice to shareholders or to other stakeholders that, you know, we looking to expand. We will continue to look to expand as and when there are opportunities, and we clearly focused on growth at this point in time.
Right, sir. Thank you. That's it for now.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Shalini Gupta from Quantum Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Very nice results. I just wanted to ask you a couple. Basically, volumes have increased by around 21%. Sales have increased by around 17%. So there is some pressure on realization. So if you could just explain why is that?
No, I mean, it depends on the product mix, actually, as to, you know, your volumes are more if in the packaging film side. So where the value add is not there, but if you sell more of the packaged products, then you know, the package, then the you know, the volume and the value increases are commensurate. So I think it's very difficult to, you know, give one answer to that, but, you know, because we have a bouquet of different products which we sell. So that's where, you know, the volume growth and the value growth may be different at some point in time.
And, sir, I mean, also an associated question. Basically, we've seen an increase in gross margin by 5%. So on the one hand, realizations have gone up. Like, this is really very difficult to lot of things. But on the other hand, your gross margins have gone up, indicating that your raw material prices have gone down. So if you could just talk about this.
So definitely, as on a YO and YO basis, the prices have, you know, the packaging films margins are much higher in Q3 of FY21 as compared to FY20, and that's where you see that you know, the margin have expanded from the same period last year. You know, and, you know, primarily when you ask me the question about volumes, the volumes for us have grown in the side of the packaging films business. If the packaging film sells for 100 rupees a kg, the packaged material sells for 250 rupees a kg. Now, so there is a value addition there. So that is why you, when you say the volumes have increased by this person, but the value has increased by only this person, that's because of the composition mix is now changing.
Okay. And sir, you've been speaking about the BOPP, BOPET price spread. Now, where do we stand vis-a-vis that?
So we had a bit of a dip in the month of November in the margins for the BOPET because, you know, usually I've been saying that, you know, we find that post-Diwali period is the lull period, and that is why, you know, November was the margins were a bit less. But December and January, I think they are back to, again, the numbers which we had in October. Obviously, the July and August numbers were a bit of different because given the huge demand created by pandemic. But yes, the numbers today when we look at, I think they're quite satisfactory, and you know, they indicate a stable margins.
Sir, what was it that caused this spread to increase? If you can just talk about that.
So two things led to that huge spread. One is the demand for the packaging films, and during the pandemic times, everybody was you know, like, all of us as individuals were trying to hoard more and more of the food items at home. Similarly, all the packaging companies had a huge demand. The shelves were empty. So the obviously there was a huge demand for the brands also for the food, and they wanted in turn more packaging. With the result, the demand going up, and you know the prices going up all of a sudden. Secondly, there was a raw material price correction, given that during this period the petrochemical demand fell very, very steeply, and you know the oil came down to much lower level. Today it's about $58 to $60, but you know we had in March the oil coming down to even 20 levels also. So the raw material prices came down drastically, and the finished goods prices, because of increased demand, went up. So that led to a much higher margin, which are, you know, sort of a one-off kind of an effect. But, you know, thereafter, except for the month of November, where the margins were a bit lower, all other months are quite reasonable now. So December and January and February, they're all at a reasonable levels what we had either in the month of you know pre-COVID or post August.
And so my last question, I mean, you've expanded in a lot of countries overseas, particularly Eastern Europe. So if you could just explain the rationale for choosing Eastern Europe.
See, Eastern Europe in terms of, you know, the cost of manufacturing operations is probably gives you an advantage rather than setting up a plant in Germany or Italy and then supplying to the local market there. So when we look at, so it's a EU. So it does not actually make a difference where are you making, but if the cost of transporting that to the consumption centers is lower than the cost of operations on a constant basis, then you know some of these Eastern Europe countries give you that advantage. They give you also the advantage in terms of having the flexibility of you know the labor and the you know the manpower from coming from India, and on top of that they give you a lot of fiscal incentives to you know set up the capacities over there. So the infrastructure developed by them is again you know the world standard. You know you still catering to Germany, Italy and other consumption centers which are the markets, and your cost of operations is much lower. And on top of that, they are giving you kind of fiscal incentives in terms of the tax benefits or even in terms of, you know, subsidizing a part of your investment, which actually helps you to lower your capital cost.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Participants, to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone now. We have next question from the line of Sunny Gosar from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions. The first one is that in the last two quarters, we have done about 1.1 lakh tons of volume. So once all these capacities in Nigeria, Hungary, Poland and Russia are operational, what kind of peak volumes on a quarterly basis can we look at?
So I think, just give me a second. So overseas business now, we going to have a capacity overseas itself. We have added about, say, 125,000 tons in terms of the capacity. So, you know, even if we... So that 125,000 tons translates into about 30,000 tons a quarter. So those are the additional volumes we should be looking at a peak capacity utilization levels, which will happen over a 2-year period.
Right. That's helpful. And then other question that I want to understand is, considering 850 crores of capex for the India plant plus about 130 to 150 crores for Dubai, and the aseptic plant expansion plus some maintenance capex. So what kind of capex numbers on an annual basis are we looking at for FY22 and FY23?
So FY22 and 23, apart from this capex that we've announced, there's normally about 100 to 150 crore of the normal capex that, you know, we do normally.
So effectively 1,000 crores between India plus Dubai plus 200 crores on maintenance capex for 2 years and plus the aseptic. So on an annual basis, we are looking at about 600 to 700 crores of capex for the next 2 years.
You can say so.
Right. And so one adjacent question to that, so assuming we have about 800 crores of PAT and about 450 crores of depreciation, so that is about 1250 crores of cash profit. So is it safe to assume that going forward our debt will not go up from the current levels?
So I think this question is very difficult to answer because, you know, the ideal situation is that, you know, if you're not growing, if you're not expanding, you have no option but to return the debt first and then, you know, return some, give some extraordinary dividend to the shareholders. So, you know, depending on the situation at that point in time, yes, we will look to lower the debt. But, you know, today also, as I say, the debt today, when I look at, like, India debt currently is about 750 crores. And India annual EBITDA is also about 750 to 800 crores now. So we have 1:1 kind of a level, which is, you know, which is extremely, extremely conservative kind of a situation. Overseas, yes, we've recently done some of the capacity expansion, so will take us a couple of years to digest that and then. But overall, I think even if we take that into account, what we are expecting is the next year that we should have at least an EBITDA of about 2,000 crores. With a debt, even including the new debt which we are taking for the expansion, I don't think so we will have more than a leveraging of 2 to EBITDA, which is again, you know, extremely comfortable situation to be in. And thereafter, if there are no further plans to, you know, sort of grow, then obviously the capex will go, you know, the debt will go down over a period of time. The good part for us is that, you know, the debt is, overseas debt is at a very cheap pricing. Even the debt we're going to tie up now for this India facility, it's going to be ECA facility, which is at Euribor plus 0.65%. So it's so competitive that, you know, that the additional burden on account of the capex in the form of interest and servicing also is spread over, say, 10 to 12 years. So you will never have a situation where there is a huge bundling of your repayments or your cost of money is humongous, which when in a down cycle, it starts, you know, sort of pinching you.
Right. Well, sir, I appreciate that. So, sir, your point about making doing about 2,000 crores of EBITDA makes this question even more pertinent, because then you will have a lot of free cash flow even after that 700 crores capex. So either that gets allocated towards a higher shareholder payout or some debt repayment, because this year, even if you do 800 crores of PAT, that will be at about 1600 or 1700 crores of EBITDA. So your cash flows will be even higher for the next year.
So you are right, but now we have the new debt, which is, so see, when we started the capex for overseas business, you know, they were virtually debt free. The total debt on overseas business on an EBITDA of about $85 to $90 million was only about $30 million at that point in time, which has been also paid off. So whatever we have in the overseas business is now only the current debt which has been taken for this expansion. So what I'm trying to say is that at debt to EBITDA of 2, today when you've just installed the projects, to say another a year down the line, you'll be still left under 1.5 debt to EBITDA, which is, and you know, but there is no incentive for us to prepay that debt, because that debt it has such a cheap cost that, you know, it does not make sense to prepay that particular debt. So if there are surpluses, we'll evaluate at that point in time what is the best course for the company. If there is a growth available, we will go for that. If there is no growth available, then obviously make sense to retire some of the high cost debt, and then eventually if still there are no growth opportunities and there are no debt paying opportunities, then return that money to the shareholders.
Right, sir. So sir, we'll look forward to a bigger payout to the shareholders from what you are explaining. And sir, one last bookkeeping question. Sir, the tax rate in this quarter was slightly higher at about 34% versus earlier quarters at 25%. So was there some one-off, and going forward, what is the tax rate that we should look at?
I think I'll have to answer that offline, but all that I can say is in this quarter, we had also profitability from our Mexican as well as our US operations, where we're paying the full rate of tax, and probably because of that, the overall tax liability is a bit higher. Even for our new facility now in the south, we're doing it in UFlex. We're not taking advantage of setting up another company to lower the tax burden, because the depreciation benefits that we will get versus the new rate of lower tax, I think that itself will take care of and the interest cost that we saved because of doing this project in UFlex will also make up for a lower rate of the tax if we would have set up a separate company to do the South project.
Sir, but I remember that you had said that your expansions in Poland and Hungary have some tax holidays. So what should be the sustainable tax rate that we should look at for next?
We'll have to address that offline.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for all the answers, and all the best for the future. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Rahul Soni from SMIPS Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions from my side. I want to understand what portion of your flexible packaging revenues are coming from direct supplies to the end customers like FMCG players like Chewel or Nestle or Britannia.
No, we sell directly to the brands only. To Procter & Gamble or Nestle or Cadbury, we sell directly to them only. We don't sell to any distributors.
Okay, you are not selling to any
other
player who is a converter? Okay.
No. The packaging material goes to the, to the end customer only. The packaging film goes to the converter.
Okay, so what percentage of, if I ask for the breakup for the flexible films or the packaging films,
I will not have that for you. But you know, largely what we say is that the business in India should be taken as a flexible packaging business and not a packaging film business, because we have this plant is the packaging films is only catering substantially to the internal customer, which is the packaging business. And they sell to the outside parties also, but largely this should be construed as a captive business only. और जो थोड़ा बहुत जो एक्स्ट्रा है इसमें अभी कैपेसिटी हमारे पास है दैट वी सेल टू द थर्ड पार्टीज एज वी एक्सपेंड आवर कैपेसिटी ऑन द पैकेजिंग बिजनेस आई थिंक दैट विल आल्सो गेट टेकन अप इन द कैपिटल कंजम्पशन ओनली
ओके
सो द इंडिया बिजनेस लार्जली वी से इट्स अ पैकेजिंग बिजनेस विच इज एन इंटेग्रेटेड पैकेजिंग बिजनेस लीव असाइड द engineering business which we report separately but you know the other piece is just the packaging business
okay and second question is on your capex sir as you said you are doing the india capex after a gap of 16 years so just want to understand why there was a gap of so long period because obviously there was a growth in demand for the flexible packaging
So I think what we decided because the capital was limited. So what we decided that you know we concentrated more on the packaging business rather than the flexible packaging films business. If you've heard me now, what I've tried to convey is that the flexible packaging business. Today is low on the margins, low on returns, and as such, if we have to consider any growth plan, so that stands last in the queue vis-a-vis the investment in the packaging films, investment in aseptic. So we have only three lines to grow: aseptic, packaging films, and packaging. So if I look at today in this order, yes, the aseptic packaging business was the lowest hanging fruit that, you know, with an investment of within 100 crores, we can double up the capacity, which can throw an additional top line of about between 400 to 500 crores in the 2 years. So that's the lowest hanging fruit. So have that first. And then when you have the resources to expand, given that, you know, your leveraging is extremely, extremely comfortable. And so in that pecking order, then you have the packaging films business, which today, yes, talks of 24%, 25% kind of an EBITDA margins. But Even if you plan that business based on 18 to 20% kind of an EBITDA margins, so that business is will give you good returns. The flexible packaging business, will make count when there is a further consolidation in the industry. The margins in India margins for the flexible packaging players move up in line with what are the margins there in the overseas in the rest of the world, and that's where if you need to grow in that business, then those investments will kick in.
So sir, as you said, you are directly supplying to the end customers. So if in that context I compare your business model for one of the peer like Huhtamaki, so your business model is more or less same if we means exclude your other business.
So Huhtamaki, between us and Huhtamaki, the only difference is while we are an integrated player, Huhtamaki is not a fully integrated player. Like, you know, they buy packaging films from the market, they buy inks, adhesives from the market. So all these facilities we have in-house. And that is where our margins are better than
So that's one more.
Otherwise, we are in the same line of business.
Okay, sir,
But if you look at Amcor, if you look at Constantia, Huhtamaki in their overseas balance sheets, you will find that their margins in those territories are much higher than the India margins.
Okay, sir, one last question, if you allow. Have you also looked for any acquisition? Because if you are doing such a large capex and packaging film business is highly there are also unorganized players also there. and yeah, like Huhtamaki, they have a history of doing acquisitions only. So have you also looked from that angle?
If you dekhoge na, so acquisitions, what happens in the packaging business, they happen at an EBITDA multiples of 12 to 14x. Okay. Now, I think that is like paying a top dollar for that acquisition. But yes, when there are companies who do not have, a different use of capital, so they find it most efficient to acquire. And so clearly there are less of organic growth opportunities in the developed world, and that is why, you know, a lot of companies are wanting to, acquire and become bigger. But if we see today in India, all these companies did acquire smaller setups and all that. But, you know, the market itself is so small. There may be hundreds of small players which are there, but if you talk of any substantive players today, I don't think so you will have that in the Indian market. So again, a very fragmented market. Yes, we are the market leaders, and though there are no confirmed numbers on what is the organized and unorganized market for the packaging films, for the packaging industry, we can only take numbers from the consumption of the packaging films in the country. So we'll be almost close to between 20 to 25% kind of stuff. So we're not clearly looking at any acquisition in India, because if there are opportunities to grow in the packaging space, we will do a brownfield expansion at any of our facilities to, get to those markets. But today, given the return metrics there, they do not qualify, the packaging business does not qualify for any additional investments today.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it for my side.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So a couple of questions on CAPEX and some financials. So my first question is on your greenfield expansion in South India. Now, if I look on the similar lines, another Indian films manufacturer announced a greenfield expansion of 48,000 tons BOPET at 500 crores. So why is there a variance between your CAPEX and the other player? And what is the split of CAPEX between CPP and BOPET films for the India plant?
So I think, Chirag, first of all, I don't think so that, that's a right question to be asking on this forum, because the dynamics are totally different. So I think wherever we have been, we quite competitive in terms of our capital costs. I think there may be very few players who match us on a capital efficiency. So because you may not have gone into much details as of now, I think the difference is that, you know, when you compare only for a packaging BOPET versus the BOPET, then it's different. Somebody else may be setting up an 8.7 meter line. We are setting up the state of the art, the latest 10.6 meter line. We are also setting up a CPP plant. We also have plans for the power also in house, and somebody else may be depending on the outside source of power. But I think we don't need to justify any capex, because we know that we are the most efficient in the capex planning.
Okay. No, because I was looking on the same line, that's why I just wanted to clarify on that part. But okay, I understand your point, sir. So my next question is, the vice chairman has stated in a couple of interviews about the brownfield expansion in Poland and Egypt. Now, the Egypt is supported by the CAPEX shown in your Egypt subsidiary. So what is the product we are going to manufacture over there and what is the expected date of commissioning?
Egypt mein to koi separate hum naya aur kuch nahi kar rahe.
No, as in if I look at your Egypt subsidiary's financial of FY20.
Egypt mein to jo hai abhi so hai, whatever has been done is done. We've set up, we've done some capex there in the last couple of years, so there is nothing to be more to be now added over there. Except that, you know, we may end up buying some more land over there for any futuristic this thing, but as of now, whatever is, there is no any incremental planning that we have for Egypt at this stage.
Okay, no, but if we look at your Egypt subsidiary financials for FY20, then there is a capital commitment shown of $59.7 million and amount spent is shown as $46.8 million. So what would that be?
So that would have been some of the old capex which got completed already. There's nothing more to be done on Egypt.
Okay. Okay. All right. So my third question is on the volume. So now if I look at your sales and production volumes, the sales volume were flat sequentially and the production volume declined despite commissioning of the Poland operation. So I just wanted to understand that, you know, what are the incremental volumes we achieved from the Poland facility as well as Russia facility separately in the Q3?
So Q3 for Russia was... Q3 Poland was less because I explained earlier that, you know, we had to do some balancing works in the plant which we didn't do because there was a huge demand, so we deferred that. We've now done that in Q3, and that is why, despite the fact that, you know, we may have started producing in Poland plant maybe in Q later part of the Q1 itself, but we did some balancing works there, and that's where the commissioning now. But Russia is what we have done in this quarter is about 6,500 tons, which was there in the last quarter also,
Okay. And what was the exit run rate of the Russian plant? Capacity utilization, exit run rate. Exit rate, capacity utilization of the Russian plant. Like, are we around 85-90%?
Russian plant should do about 3,000 tons a month. So about 9,000 tons a quarter. That's the capacity.
Okay. Now, sir, one more question. This is on the other operating income for the quarter. So if I look at your consolidated minus standalone, there is a negative other operating income of INR 20 crores. So can you please explain what is that negative other operating income? So we have got...
Do that offline.
Okay, all right, sir. Thanks for answering the questions.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the lineup, Ayush. An investor, please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, so just wanted to confirm, you mentioned we have added 125,000 tons capacity over the past 2 years, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So what kind of additional revenues can this contribute over the next 2 years, like once they are running at peak capacity?
So I think we can look at from this incremental capacity about $300 million capex revenue.
And margins would be EBITDA margins, average levels?
EBITDA margins, you can take it. Today may be a bit higher, 25% or so, but you can take it about 20% on a normalized basis to make your
plan. So 20% normalized basis, you are seeing as a sustainable average?
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, you also mentioned that the current situation is not like 2011 situation. So can you just elaborate on it? Because right now also we are seeing a lot of capacity expansions happening across all the companies are.
No, when I said that current situation is not 2011 situation is because 2011, the prices of the films went up so high that the payback period of setting up a new capacity was coming out to be a year and a half kind of a stuff. But correct. Today, when you look at 18-20% kind of an EBITDA margins, you will still get a 4-5 years kind of a payback.
Correct. Okay. So
that's the difference. I'm not saying that the new capacity will not come up and all that. That will all happen now.
Correct.
It's a commodity. It's a cycle. So this is inevitable. This will happen.
Yeah, so basically, can I infer from this that the margins will come under pressure over the next few years, but they won't decline to a level that they declined after 2011. Because after 2011, our margins, EBITDA margins were around 12-13% for 3-4 years. Because of which our return ratios were quite subdued.
Yeah, because 2011 ke baad itna jyada capacity aa gaya tha based on those paybacks, that the margins remain subdued for very long period of time. But
yeah,
abhi honge margins subdued a year or 2 years down the line, but they will not be as affected as let's also face the fact that there is a lot of cheap money now available in the markets.
There's
a lot of money being printed. As I said, the South facility we are funding at Euribor plus 0.65%. So when we look at that kind of interest cost, you feel that, your risks to the market are minimal because your cost of that capital is under 1% only. No,
correct.
So likewise, other people will also think so. Investment cycles will go up. Now that ultimately, whether it leads to a higher consumption overall cycle turning, I think these are all the questions which are difficult to address at this point in time. But yes, one thing that remains the factual position is that these are all commodity businesses. They will have a commodity cycle up and down, and that's what is expected.
Right. Okay. And so the last question is, so you mentioned that packaging business, like currently the return matrix, because of the return matrix, it does not qualify for additional investment. But then you also said that maybe over the next 2 years, things should improve. So basically you also have spoken about the consolidation happening. So how is that turning out to be? Like, do you still believe it will get over in the next 2 years, or it has fastened COVID?
I think it should get it should happen in the next couple of years' time, and I think maybe that is how the MNCs also want to play out. So they also do appreciate that their margins in India and their margins elsewhere are different. And that is why they're looking at probably gaining buying out some of the other distressed companies and all that, but we clearly not there. I think we'll be happy setting up any brownfield capacity rather than getting into something which is taking up a small capacity here and there, and then trying to find a way as to how do we make that profitable. I think we'll do brownfield capacity expansion as and when please understand that is our core business. If the aseptic packaging market is growing at say 20%, or the flexible packaging market is growing at say 11-12%, So I have to invest to be on the top of that. Once you do not have any kind of a growth opportunities, then that's a different time when you can look at any other things. But today, if India, we are all saying that it's going to be a 5 trillion economy in the next 5 years or 7 years, I'll be a direct beneficiary of all that, because that will spur consumption. That will mean that people will have more meals, today, more packaged foods. The quality of life improvement will also mean that, the quality of food, the way we keep, the way we wrap, and the way we intake will also improve. So all those factors are also going to help me increase the the FMCG players' revenues, and if they require, if they have a higher business, higher volumes, obviously they have to pack all that stuff, and then I come into play, the largest player in the business in the country.
Correct, right. Okay, sir. Thank you. I'm done with my questions.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Rajendra Shah, an investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. You are so confident about your business and for the profitability for the future. Hence, you are doing the expansion, sir. Why you are not increasing your holding for the promoter, sir, at the current rate to give the confidence for this?
देखिए वो जो होगा ना प्रमोटर के पास में अगर पैसे होंगे तो वो प्रमोटर कर लेंगे बट टुडे द प्रमोटर्स इज दैट यू नो द कंपनी इज हैज इनफ मनी सो इफ आई ग्रो दैट पाई यस आई विल गेट ओनली ए 44% शेयर ऑफ दैट बिजनेस बट यू नो दैट पाई विल ग्रो बट इफ आई take out that money and I keep it and then I decide whether to invest back into this business or not, so then this pie will not grow, then this will remain where it is today. So we've deliberated that a few times as to, this is the way to increase, this is the opportunity to increase the promoter's holding. I think we keep on working on that, but as of now, there's nothing that happened there. In any case, even if you plan something, there are limitations under the laws to, as to what you can creep and what you can acquire. But clearly, promoter being also a shareholder, he gets the same money as to what all of you also get by way of a distribution from the company. So, we
that
have to grow
right,
that
part. That is the right which you are explaining, sir.
Mm.
See, before 2 years back, I think so promoters were willing to take at a rate of 390 or something.
Mm.
Then the way, rate gone down and they back up. They had gone back. Afterwards, nothing has
it come. Was not because of the rate had gone down and they had backed out. See, our business, one thing we know, Ji, I think this pandemic has also taught us that, look, whatever may happen on this Mother Earth in terms of anything happening, the food business will survive. Because whether you are working or whether you are not working, you still need the food. You still need the food to be delivered. And if it is a pandemic kind of a situation or other mayhem, you want your food to be delivered, duly packed, because you now don't have the excess of going out and getting the food which is in the open packs and all that. So one thing that stands clear with this pandemic is that any food business companies, whether it is packaging or manufacturing food and all that, they'll be the last man kind of a standing situation. They are in the last man kind of standing situation.
Sir, that is I understood very well. But to give the confidence to the institution or anyone, if if the promoter increase at this rate, it will help a lot for the valuation purpose.
Where does the promoter get the money from? So he will have to take out the money by way of a higher distribution from the company, no sir.
Before 2 years they were willing to do. At that time they were having the money. Now they are not having the money, I should say.
I think अभी तो कोई प्लानिंग नहीं है उसमें.
नहीं, दिस इज टू गिव द कॉन्फिडेंस टू द इंस्टीट्यूशन एंड टू हैव अ गुड वैल्यूएशन ऑफ द
विच इंस्टीट्यूशन टू गिव
डोमेस्टिक इंस्टीट्यूशन और एनी इन्वेस्टर न्यू इन्वेस्टर विल गिव द कॉन्फिडेंस. सी,
आई डोंट थिंक सो. आई नीड टू गिव दैट कॉन्फिडेंस बाय बाइंग द थिंग्स ऑन माय ओन. I think you all understand business, you all understand growth metrics, and you all understand as to what the company is delivering. And you invest based on that. You don't invest based on the fact whether promoter is buying its shares or not, is increasing its holding or not. I don't think so you've done that in any company, whether it is HDFC or ICICI.
That is the right you are talking about. But this is the one way when we were going to buy at the rate of 390. And then now at this point of time,
sir, beyond a point, I can't talk about the promoter because he is as much as a shareholder as you are. So let's concentrate more on the company operations.
Okay. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Saurabh Sharma, investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. First, she mentioned about the.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sharma. We're not able to hear you.
How about now? Is this better?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, you talked about the Karnataka expansion of 850 crores, and you also talked about brownfield expansions. The company being open to brownfield expansions. So, connecting these two things together, was brownfield expansion or an inorganic expansion, was that evaluated or taking the decision to go to a disparate part of the country to set up a new greenfield plant?
I think you've not understood my context in the brownfield. When we were talking about the packaging film business, we were talking about the packaging business, we were talking about the brownfield expansion or the greenfield expansion happening for us in that business. Now, clearly today in the films business, there are no opportunities in India for any takeover because all the companies in the segment are doing so well that doing something at the top of the cycle is also not a very good way to. So if there's a market that will grow at about 10 to 11% in the country, so might as well participate in that by doing a greenfield or brownfield expansion rather than the opportunity for M&A comes only because either there is a distress or there is a promoter who is a willing seller. But unfortunately, in our business line today in India, none of these situations exist.
And what about a brownfield expansion at an existing plant in India? Was that not possible at all instead of going to Karnataka and setting up a greenfield plant?
So today in the brownfield, in the packaging films business, we had no space. So right now, Noida, where our plant is today, that's in the mid of a town now. There is not even an inch of space over there now.
From Noida. I am calling from Noida, so I do know about the UFLEX plant in Noida.
So there was no space there.
Right. And sir, just a quick follow-up question to that. You mentioned 12 to 15x EBITDA at levels at which acquisitions have been happening. So, you know, that brings into question the cost, the market price of UFLEX itself. And it is trading at less than 2x EBITDA right now in the market, almost 1.3 considering the 2000 EBITDA that you mentioned. So how likely do you think can UFLEX be a target of acquisition at 1.3x EBITDA? Thank you.
See, unless the promoter is willing to sell out, there's no way the UFLEX can be targeted.
All right. But so would that be a function of the price, sir?
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right, sir. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the last question from the line of Amit Trivedi, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, my question is,
sir, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Trivedi. Your line is not very clear. Please use the handset while asking the question. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, is it clear now?
Yeah, please go ahead.
को नहीं बाय करना चाहिए, एग्री विद यू, बट एज एज अ शेयर होल्डर हम लोग भी उतने ही कंपनी के होल्डर्स हैं जितने आपके प्रमोटर्स हैं, बट और आपके जिस प्रमोटर्स के यहाँ पैसा नहीं उसको खरीद नहीं रहा, तो मैं कंपनी के पास है
Sir, I'm sorry, we can't hear you. Audio is not very clear. You seem to be, you know, not very proper network.
Okay, yeah. This is Sanjay Akari, what?
Hello. Sorry, sir, I can't hear you.
Yeah. Is it better?
Yes.
Yeah, better now.
Okay, sorry. Sorry about that. My question is, sir, is that the motors will not be bad from the market. But company ke paas to pehle hai from the back to back from the market. The reason I'm asking you this is because ki agar aap aapko shayad pata nahi hua ki ek individual investor ne pichle 6 quarters mein he has bought 10% in your company by spending only 150 crores and he was already at 10%, so now he's at 20%, he's probably go to 25%. Agar wo at the same time that company crores increase the capacity by 10%. That brings me, we are talking about 10.
You're not audible,
sir,
at all.
Sorry to interrupt. Your line is not very clearly audible. Would you like to keep it short?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one my question.
It's not helping. It's not helping, G.
Okay, sorry. Yeah,
thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and we look forward to staying in touch in future quarters. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of UFlex Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.